Donna.
And I'm Helen.
And we're the Tech Chicks.
And welcome to episode 106.
The ISTE episode.
That, like, almost matches the temperature outside.
I think it does. Actually, it's cooler today.
Right. But it was, like, 106, like, yesterday.
I know.
We're close to it.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. We're in the dog days of summer.
And it's just started.
It is just, it has just started.
All right.
So
we went to ISTE.
Right. And we should say, I mean, it has been a while since we podcasted.
You know, we say this every time.
No, I'm just saying they know that we have crazy lives.
They're used to it, right?
Right.
Okay.
You guys are used to the fact that we have crazy lives.
We're done apologizing.
Right. Wow, that sounded a lot worse than what I meant. It was more like it has been exceptionally crazy, though, in the last couple of weeks, right?
We should go back and listen to our episodes where we try and make it. Well, this time it was really crazy. Before it was crazy, but this time it just gets worse.
Has it not been crazy?
Yes, it has.
We had, like, the whole end of school, beginning of summer PD.
How late were we staying here every night?
We have been working until we worked until midnight at least
3 or 4 days.
3 or 4 days. Like getting things ready. Right, in the same week, getting things ready because we have a couple of big iPad mini and iPod initiatives that we love. And so it's a great problem to have, but there's a lot of setup involved.
Yeah.
And it just has not happened. In fact, we were putting the agenda together today and we're like, oh my gosh, we have so much content.
Mm-hmm.
We're splitting it up into several different, you know, episodes, but that's how long it's been, and it really has been because, like, logistically, we would have had to do it at 2 a.m.
Yeah, so
Even though we say we're up at 2 a.m. surfing
the
web,
we don't really podcast that.
We try not to podcast at 2 a.m. because you really don't want to be in our heads at 2 a.m.
No.
It's not a pretty place.
Yeah, you've heard us punchy before, but you've never heard us quite like
2 a.m.
punchy. 2 a.m. punchy. So we were talking about the fact that we have content for 3 episodes, I think.
Right.
And what we've tried in the past is to, like, cheat you guys and record them all at the same time, but, you know, publish them, like, a week apart, you know, but...
Well, the problem is you can't wait to publish them, though.
I can't. I'm
like,
all
could you space them out just a little bit? Oh, I published them all. They're all done.
So that's one of the issues, yes, but I was going to say...
Oh, that's not where you're going?
That part of the issue, too, is like, it's technology and everything advances. And then,
yeah,
like, sometimes we've posted something that we're all excited about, and then we wait to publish it, and then, wow, that was old news. Way to go, Tech Chicks. So, you know, you're going to get them one right after another. You can listen to them however you feel like it.
Yes. And for those of you, like, it was awesome meeting people at iPad Blues and ISTE. And those of you that say that you walk, listening to our podcast, or I apologize if we ruined your workouts because we haven't been publishing.
I know.
We're trying to be better. We're trying to be better walkers, too, right?
Yeah, so. We are. So maybe we should, like, walk and podcast on one of them.
That could be interesting. Like, get on treadmills and actually record?
Yeah. Well, it'd have to be a treadmill because we'd have to have our stuff in front of us.
In front of us, yeah. Otherwise, there would be some major accidents with us walking with our laptops and the iPod and everything.
That would be a problem.
There would be many pauses in that podcast.
I don't think they want to listen to this anyway because after a few minutes we'll be going, and then you can always... You know, what were we talking about again? Maybe it's a bad idea.
So maybe
you walk, we'll talk.
We'll talk. There you go. All right. So for episode 106, we thought we would just share some reflections from the ISTE conference, which is the International Society for Technology of Education.
Which was in our backyard.
It was in San Antonio. It was completely amazing. The weather actually held out. It was hot, but it wasn't like, oh my gosh, we're going to die hot.
As a matter of fact, I think it started with the, oh my God, we're going to die hot the day after we left.
Yes. So I can't complain too much about the weather. And
because it was hot. It was just not unexpectedly hot.
Right. There were a lot of people there.
Yeah.
It was so amazing to see everybody and just, you know, I think, were they saying like 12 to 15,000 educators?
Oh, I don't know.
All in one place? I don't know. And geeky educators at that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys don't mind like being lumped in there with all of us, but wow.
We met a lot of geeks.
Wow, Anna.
But geek is the new cool.
Oh, geek is the new chic, right?
Yes.
Okay. So it was really very cool. We wanted to mention, kind of give some props out to our fellow ADE friends that put the photo walk together. Yeah. So Larry Anderson and Craig Nansen and Christina mm-hmm. Propescu.
And Gordon.
And Gordon. Worley, yes.
And
Gail Berthune. I probably said that wrong, Gail. I'm but sorry, we love you, Gail. You. Yes. I don't know. There were others. And so if Christina. We didn't mention you, I'm sorry. But they did an awesome job putting the photo walk together. If you have not been to the ISTE photo walk, it kind of started off as just a little ADE get together every year at ISTE that, you know, we would get together and take some pictures and people wanted to, you know, jump in. So this was like a pretty big photo walk.
Yeah, there were roughly 175 people. I think somebody said 177, but I went around it.
Right. I think we tried to count.
We did literally try to count. And then I lost count, so I was counting on you to count.
I did count. And then we had people join in as we went away. So mm-hmm. we actually met at the convention center and then walked over to the Alamo. There's some great group photos, and we'll put the link to the Flickr group if you want to take a look at some of the photos. Mm-hmm. The photos, hopefully, that people have posted should be licensed with Creative Commons so mm-hmm. that they're usable by anyone, of course, with, you know, proper linkage attribution, right?
But what was nice is it started officially at 8 o'clock, and then we got a group picture,
right?
And then we walked to the Alamo and got another group picture, and then you could do whatever after that. But a lot of groups made, you know, kind of smaller groups, tapered off, and learned a lot about photography, which is the whole point right. of a photo walk, is to learn from each other.
And people were using professional cameras as well.
And
as
a professional photographer using nothing but an iPad.
iPads, yeah.
That was crazy.
I thought that was really cool. And there were people that went down to the Riverwalk mm-hmm. and actually got some shots, and people who walked around the town. I mean, it was just really cool. And it's about the conversation. Lame, well, we were, but it was kind of hot.
It was ridiculously hot. Did we mention it was hot in San Antonio?
Yes.
It was.
But it was nice to see everybody. And then there were lots of meetups. And mm-hmm. so thank you to all the vendors that provided networking opportunities for people to go in and kind of meet up with each other. And then we had an ADE meetup, mm-hmm. Which are the Apple Distinguished Educators. So it was really cool to see everybody.
And a Fable Vision one.
Fable Vision. Mm-hmm. Quite a few different ones. Toontastic mm-hmm. sponsored one as well. And mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun. So to our ADE friends that are going to the ADE Institute in a couple of weeks, we wish you lots of luck and hope you have just the most fabulous time ever.
Yep.
So it's always a great learning experience there. And then I really loved kind of the apps and the interactivity that the conference had this year. So there were lots of QR codes everywhere.
And there were a lot of little scavenger hunts with QR codes.
Scavenger hunts.
Like Fable Vision had that snap something, and so you would find the QR codes and use their app to snap them, and it would give you a little did you know kind of thing, and then right. then you would take a picture and have a little like a cartoon overlay on it. It was
on
fun.
Your photos. That was a lot of fun. And then places to post photos and mm-hmm. codes, like the official ISTE app had a game, and you mm-hmm. got codes and earned points, and it was just kind of a cool way for everybody to sort of get the conference participants to interact more. So mm-hmm. I thought that was cool. I think when you think about trying to meet the needs of so many different people, just the fact that you're differentiating by offering these different opportunities was really interesting.
It was very cool.
And if you missed ISTE, if you were not able to come, or if you were just all over the place because there were so many things going on, ISTE actually has a YouTube channel, and you can go on there and watch some of the keynotes as well as some of the other sessions that were recorded.
It's not quite the same as being there in person, but
no, but there's some great learning on there.
Oh, absolutely.
And I loved it because, you know, we weren't able to attend as many sessions, or there were some that were concurrent while we were presenting, and so we can actually go on there and follow up and get some extra professional development that way mm-hmm. as well.
So I had fun in the ISTE store. Because they had the best mirror ever.
That was a very cool mirror, yes. Do you want to talk about the mirror?
I'm just, you know, just random stuff. The mirror made you look like ridiculously skinny.
Yes.
So if you were normally thin, I'm very sorry. You probably didn't like the mirror very much, but I really liked the mirror.
We should have taken our new, like, picture for our podcast there.
I have a picture of us with the mirror. Didn't turn out great, though.
If we look ridiculously thin in our next photo opportunity, you'll know why.
All right. I had other things of to talk about that Helen removed, but so we'll just move on because
we'll move on.
All right. So YouTube channel. Then should we do the next one that's on there or skip it for first?
No, I think this is great. We're reflecting a little bit on ISTE with our podcast, and we also wanted to link to Dean Shoresky's reflection on ISTE, and it's his blog post called The Stupidest Creative Act.
Right, so I don't mean to, I wasn't suggesting that we skip it, just reorder it, just so we're clarifying. I don't want Dean to think that we're going to throw them under the bus like that. So this was a reflection post. So Clay Shirky, he's quoting Clay Shirky, and it's kind of some of the things that he said that were causing him to reflect on the stupidest creative act. So it says in the post, Clay Shirky has said the stupidest creative act is still a creative act, and that the real gap isn't between the mediocre and great work. The real gap is between getting started and doing nothing. If you've created something, even if it's stupid, you've put yourself in a position to do more. And I really like that quote. And I think that's important. You know, some kids are even shamed into not doing anything because they don't want to look stupid. And, you know, you have to say you're better off than your friends that didn't do anything, you know, even if it came across as stupid. And I really like that Dean talks about how he has photos of his dog and things his dog has chewed, and then can create a group on Flickr, which is great quotes about learning. So this was a neat, you know, you talk about, you start something and it starts off stupid, but it gets you in the position to do more. And talks about a lot of different stupid things and how they can lead to better things.
Well, it's just that you shouldn't dismiss silly.
Right.
And I really loved that Dean was actually at one of the Ignite sessions. And if you didn't get a chance to attend the Ignite sessions, really think about going to those next year. They gave people, I think, like 10 or 15 minutes, and you had to have a slide deck, and it was images, and you it had to just kind of go, and you just talked. And so you talked about what you were passionate about for 15 minutes. And what a very cool way to hear all these different people all sharing what they're passionate about in a very short, quick amount of time. And so it's just meant to inspire you, to ignite something in your own thinking. So it was really cool that he shared the transcript from his Ignite talk.
Yeah, and in the end, but I like what he says here in the end, that he says, where is it? Great teachers can take stupid or throw away and turn it into something beautiful and meaningful. We need teachers who allow students to create, experiment, at times be silly, but then lead them to reflect and ask, what else could this be? Often stupid creations represent safe and risk-free opportunities to try something new. It may not always lead to something of beauty and value, but sometimes it will. So
you never know where it's going to go.
Yeah, I think this is awesome.
Yeah, very, very cool. And then the opening keynote was Jane McConigal on gamification.
Yeah.
She was just really cool.
It was really, and I should pull up my notability notes on that because I was taking notes on that one. She said a lot of things that really kind of struck with me. And talking about the reason people game and the 10 emotions that games evoke.
Right.
And the idea behind that would be, you know, those are the kinds of feelings you need to get in your lessons, because kids are choosing to game. You may not agree with it, or you know why they're doing it, or you know, but the fact is they do. And she had some really crazy numbers. Let's see, 1 billion gamers worldwide, at least, and to be defined as a gamer, you have to have at least an hour of a day playing a game on a connected device. 1 billion gamers game at least an hour a day. So 300 million minutes a day are spent playing Angry Birds collectively by these gamers. 170 hours per year per player for Call of Duty. So the longer you stay in school, the less engaged you become. Oh, here it is. 100 million hours to create Wikipedia. 100 million hours to create this collective online encyclopedia.
Which is a huge amount of information.
Which is a huge amount of information. And a lot of time. But when you break it down, that's only 3 weeks of Angry Birds.
Right.
And only 7 days of Call of Duty.
So imagine what we could create in 7 days if you had that intense amount of work
put into something. Of interest and desire to do it. So that was really something. And she also talked about there's for every one negative emotion, you should have you need three positive emotions for a better life. So mm-hmm. for every one negative, there should be three positive, which is kind of funny. When I was growing up, my dad used to say you needed to have 10 attaboys to make up for every off. Sorry for that. That's what he would tell us. So when you messed up,
right,
you had to do, you know, there were 10 good things you had to do to make up for that. So it was kind of, that's what made me think. So I want to go back and say, Dad, you only needed three.
You only needed three.
Why'd you put so much pressure on me? But anyway, so that was interesting. And also said that's the ratio. But if you have too many positive, like once you hit like 12 positives to one negative, that was like too many positives.
Right.
And they lose the effect.
It sort of loses the effect that you have.
Yeah. So I thought this was interesting about gaming, that 8 out of 10 times gamers fail at a game. So if you think about that, 8 out of 10 times, 80% of the time they're going to fail. But something about this is getting them to do it again.
Right, right.
And to keep at it.
And if you think about it, they found 8 ways that it didn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, they were successful at finding 8 ways that it didn't work. What's the next way? Is it going to be a way that doesn't work or a way that does work?
Yes, yes. So anyway, we took a lot of notes on that. If you find the keynote on the YouTube channel, you should really, really look at it.
Yeah, I don't know if that one was posted on there. I'll have to go back and double check. But it was really good. And, you know, what she was talking about was not so much the use of games in the classroom, but gamification of the classroom, which was taking those things that intrigue students to play games and mm-hmm. putting those context in the classroom. So reframing the way you do your classroom.
And doing those things to evoke those kinds of emotions. She talked about the project she did with the New York Public Library.
Oh, that was so cool.
To get the teens to want to come to the library.
I want to go just to do that.
Yeah. And it was like basically a lock-in.
Right.
And in the end, they all had written a book together.
They wrote a book that's in their rare books collection.
Yes.
It's in the rare books collection at the New York Public Library.
How cool is that?
So incredibly cool.
So anyway, there was a bunch to it. It was really interesting and I really liked it. So we also have a link on that we're providing. It's
gameplay versus game-based learning.
Yeah, so it's not really an infographic. It's like a chart, I guess.
Right.
So there's traditional gameplay on one column and game-based learning on the other, and it was talking about gamification is not necessarily a game. A game is something that you can lose at. Games are inherently and intrinsically rewarding. Mm-hmm. There are also extrinsic rewards throughout the game, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so it gives kind of a chart to explain, you know, it's not about necessarily about winning, you know, and creating games of winning in your classroom, but making the game-based learning, creating gamifying so that they're tailored to kids' needs, that the incentives come from the games themselves, moving up, leveling challenges, and everything like that. So it's a good graphic. Or
definitely
a good chart.
Some thinking mm-hmm. about how you can do your classroom differently.
Yeah,
and really, we might not, you know, need to think about how that applies to PD as well, and how that might look differently for adult learning as well.
Yeah, actually, she did some fun stuff where we had a big game. We played thumb wrestling.
Yeah, what was it? Massive multiplayer thumb wrestling?
I think I wrote it down. I don't know. Maybe I didn't write it down.
It was like the world's largest multiplayer.
Massively multiplayer thumb wrestling.
Yeah.
Something like that. And so there were a bunch of, we were all thumb wrestling together. Well, we weren't, because we weren't actually in the keynote room. We were in one of the blogger cafe kind of things. So.
But we massively thumb wrestled.
We did.
With our few friends that were there.
Well, a friend that was a friend and one that we just grabbed thumbs.
We're all friends at the conference, yes. Anna.
All right. So check that out.
So from talking about gamification, we could share our next link, which is about games in the classroom. Educaid.org was one of the vendors that we visited in the exhibit hall, and we were really excited to kind of see what they have. It is still a little bit in beta, but it is free to sign up. So you can go to educaid, EDUCADE.org, and sign up for a free account and become a member of the League of Innovative Educators or something like that. Yes,
and it was like, what were we stomping out? Boredom or something like that?
It was darn cool.
It was darn cool. They had a really cute booth because they had like people dressed up superhero-ish. And so it was, I mean, it got you involved, and they had like little toys at the booths and stuff like that. So the site, when you sign up, it's like Helen said, it's a free account. I'm going to log into mine.
But it is in beta. So when you go on there to search and it doesn't work perfectly, don't freak out. They're still working on it.
Yes. It's not letting me log in right now. So I'm just going to move along. So basically you can pull up based on subject. So, you can say, okay, I'm looking for geometry, or whatever. And it's going to give you, on your topic, different lessons that you can use for that topic. So right. I just picked geometry and there's a whole section on iCross. And so it's learn geometry intuitively by interacting with three-dimensional shapes in three-dimensional space. And it gives you a column of, so there's where to buy, what the subjects are, what the type of thing, is it a website, is it an app or whatever, what platform it works on, what requirements are needed, the price, if any. And then across the top, you can mark it if you use it, if you like it. You can pack it in your space, your tools or whatever,
right.
To share it or to save it for later. And then it gives an overview. It gives screenshots of the app or the website, talks about, it's a whole review. So it's ease of use, the controls, features. And in some cases they had full lesson plans, for how to use that app. So
it's really geared for teachers, and they're trying to put all of these at the fingertips of teachers. And so you'll find lesson plans and teaching tools divided up by grade level, subject area, or technology type. There are, they say, hundreds of apps, games, and maker kits that align with standards for maximum curricular support. So it is aligned to the core, Common Core. And we're in a state that doesn't use Common Core. So if you are, you know, really they're very close together. And I'm sure that you'll find things that you can link onto and use.
Yeah, I wonder, I bet there's an alignment piece somewhere that says Common Core this is Texas this.
Possibly.
Or close.
Right. So educade.org. really cool. And I just love the lesson plans that are on there because you can become an ad executive. They can learn about conservation. They have links to Makey Makey where kids can learn programming and create in that whole maker movement. Prime factorization trees with Little Alchemy. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff, and it's really, I think especially if you're looking to support the STEM curriculum, it's right here, but there is a lot beyond STEM as well.
Well, and honestly, the site is really pretty.
Yes.
You know, just maneuvering, you know, they've got cute little, I don't know, animations as you move along and select things.
And colors.
There's
pretty colors.
It's really easy to navigate. There's not, you don't need a tutorial on how to use their site or anything like that.
No.
So it's very basic. Actually, this is twice now. I've clicked on one to just kind of look, and I really like that, and I've ended up downloading the app because I wanted to see the lesson that they're there. And so, I mean, it's really good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, so they're on a mission to make serious learning fun and want you to become a classroom hero. So we already know your heroes out there, but you can join the League of Heroes.
Put on your cape.
We should have, like, T-shirts made.
Yeah.
With League of Heroes.
And
little capes on them.
We'll do that.
In our spare time.
Lots of spare time. Yeah.
All right. So moving on to our next link. Our next link is another vendor that we were particularly excited about, and that is Comic Life 3, which was shared by Plask, P-L-A-S-Q. If you have not played with Comic Life, we're really sorry for you. Download it.
Yeah. There's a trial. Check it out.
you have to do it. It's so cool. So we, as a district, in our district, we've had Comic Life for a while. It's amazing to create comics, basically, on the computers. But when they came out with it for the iPad, I think we were over the stars, right? Yeah. It's not just,
I mean, people are using it for name tags.
Yes.
I mean, it's just a great way to do lettering and kind of basic, very basic desktop publishing.
Right.
So,
Can we tell them the really cool thing with Comic Life 3, though?
So Comic Life 3, which isn't out yet, but you're going to want it really bad.
Has the writing piece.
The writing piece.
So, you know, we always have talked about how this really supports the writing process and the fact that students can storyboard and then they create their comics and everything else. Well, you can actually do all of that writing right inside the application. Yes. So you'll be able to go on there and it's like then...
You're writing a script.
You're writing a script, right.
It gives where you hide away the whole comic part of it.
Yes.
And you write your script, and if you tag it their particular way, then when it's time to make the comic...
Wait for it. Okay.
You just drag it in.
That's right. You just drag in what you have written.
And then the comic is made
for it. It, creates the little word bubbles. It puts them... it's a thought, it comes out with a thought bubble.
It's so brilliant.
It's very, very cool. They're great for all kinds of projects. Science reports, writing, any kind of writing, history projects, yearbook layouts, foreign languages. I mean, you imagine it and you can actually create it on here.
And they even have things like little filters and stuff.
Yes.
For doing, making your pictures look comified, comic pictures.
Yes.
You know what I mean, with a little comified. Halftone or, yes. I don't know, it's great. My kids use it for everything.
It's magic.
It's magic.
So if you have laptops or desktops, Windows or Mac, you can download a 30-day free trial to give it a try. We totally recommend that you do that because you'll fall in love with it. They do volume pricing. And then if you are looking for the iOS app, the regular user price is $4.99, but they are part of the volume purchase program. So it's only $2.49 if you're buying 20 or more copies. And really, why wouldn't you want 20 or more copies?
Well, and if you're buying for so I think I have an average size canvas, 750 kids. That's $3.99 per device for Comic Life. I don't think that's bad at all. Great volume pricing.
Yeah, I think it's great. So anyways, definitely look them up, download it, check it out. We're super, super excited about Comic Life 3 and cannot wait for it to come out.
And we'll be sure to tell you when it is out because we will have downloaded it right away.
Yes. Okay, and then we're also super excited about another release that isn't out yet, and that's Kid Pix 3.
Oh, that's not on our lineup. You're right, and it should be. Kid Pix 3D is already out. And if you haven't seen it, you should check it out because it's really fun. I've had it for a while, and I honestly hadn't played much with it, but when I saw it at ISTE, I was like, okay, I need to be looking at this more with the kids. I know my kids can do great stuff with it. They have a lot of great features to...
I think it's going to give kids a whole new option for storytelling on the iPad.
Well, when you say storytelling, I think too many people think language arts, but for any subject.
Any subject, though.
It's just brilliant. And so Kid Pix 3D is coming out on the iPad.
Yes.
And they demoed it.
Can't wait!
I know. They demoed it, and it really looks just like Kid Pix 3D on the computer. I mean, it was really good.
It was really good.
And that was just the beta.
But they wouldn't tell us when it was coming out.
No, they said
soon.
We
tried really hard to find out for you guys.
Is that like tomorrow?
Like, soon as in next month, soon as is, before school starts.
They didn't say.
They wouldn't tell us. And you know, for our listeners, we tried really, really hard to get that out of them.
We tried to trick it out of them, too, and it didn't work.
It didn't work, no. But you'll want to kind of keep an eye out for it, because I can totally see this being amazing for students to use in the classroom on their iOS devices. And so... another vendor that this isn't like super new. It kind of is new, but it was new to us. So we want to talk about BrainPop for just a second.
Well, BrainPop isn't new to us.
Right.
But the BrainPop educators community part was...
And again, that's not totally new because it's been around for about a year. And we, have loved it, but we weren't really on the site doing all the really cool things. But there's some really cool things. So if you have BrainPop, this is a different login, and anyone can log into the BrainPop Educators community. So we have the link in our show notes to go on there. It's free to sign up, and then once you're on there, there's some really cool stuff that's on there.
Yeah.
So some great resources, including mind maps, all kinds of different ways to use some of the resources in your classroom. So like lesson ideas. I mean, interactive whiteboard resources, how to embed videos, graphic organizers.
But, like, if you're looking for anything, you can pull up your standard. So I'm going to select Texas, and then I'm looking for, we'll say, science in grade 4. Submit. And now I have my TECS, which is Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills.
Which are our state standards.
Which is our state standards. Right. And it tells me here's one for science, and it gives me a link to the BrainPop Junior and the BrainPop videos. And then when I select it, so I'm going to just do this one on natural resources. When I select that link, well, it depends on the one that's there. It may just take you to the video, but if there's a lesson plan for it, it takes you to the whole lesson plan on that concept.
And it links to BrainPop Junior and BrainPop, so you're getting, you know, links to all of that. There's also a mixer on there, so you can actually build your own, you can customize assessments for your students. Mm-hmm.
So all those quizzes on BrainPop, sometimes you're like, well, I wish I had a quiz that asked XYZ.
This question and this question and this question.
And the mixer, I like that they call it a mixer because you don't have to write these questions yourself. You can actually search for quizzes that are already out there and just use, I want this question from this quiz and this question from that quiz.
Because there's a lot and of brilliant people out there.
There are. And then I'm going to add my own question, you know, for this one. And so you can create your own quiz. And publish it out. When you publish it out, you get a URL. You don't have to share it to where other people can access your quiz. You can get a private URL, I guess. And then you can give that to your kids. Now, right now, you don't have a way to track what they've done. So it's still the way where the kids are going to have to go take the quiz and show you their screen.
Right. But they're kind of gearing up for that. That's right. The next iteration, I think.
My BrainPop, it's in beta, but there's a section called My Classes. And when you select that now, it's going to tell you that it's a new service that teachers will see. They'll be able to grade quizzes from the mixer and get data from the games in GameUp. But it's in a closed beta, but will be open for the 13-14 school year. But only to subscribers with 24/7 access. So if you only have day subscription, you might want to consider upgrading.
Yeah, and we didn't mention GameUp, but there are a whole new titles available for BrainPop and BrainPop Junior, and a great little game portal right there on the site. So super, super cool. We're very excited that BrainPop is offering this.
All right.
All right, so another thing that we saw that we're really excited about is from Atlas Learning, and it's called Live Slide.
Yeah, so
it was actually kind of launched there, right? Like, well,
it's revealed, I guess.
Right, yeah.
So we ran into a guy teaching about basically coding in iPad Palooza, remember? And then he was telling us to check out Atlas Learning. He's from Atlas Learning. And so then we went to this event for Atlas Learning. Anyway, Live Slide, it's, if you go to atlaslearning.net/liveslide, you'll see it's not out yet, so you'll have to just see screenshots and what it's going to be about. But it's kind of, I don't even know how to describe it. It's web-based, so even though they show fake iPads, it's agnostic.
Right.
It's just web-based. But as a teacher, you'll be able to see that students are logged in. You'll be able to pull in content and create content on the fly that you can push out to all of their devices. And they'll be able to mark up, you know, you can let students mark up like an interactive whiteboard, or you can mark up on your end and push it out. You can annotate on top of anything that you're looking at. So it's not just a blank, you know, you can pull up web and animate or annotate. So
So if you're, I know those of you who are listening, because this was my first thought, it was like, oh, it's kind of like Nearpod.
It's not.
It's like Nearpod on steroids and then some, because you don't have to go to a website to create your content. Your content can be kind of anything that's on your iPad. Really serves the teachable moment, because you can throw in a PDF, you can find a photo, capture it, and send it out to everybody in the classroom. So it becomes sort of like your way of managing the lesson. And we know that when you you know, share out your lessons with your students. They're not always on task, and this lets you keep them on task and keep them engaged in the content because right. you can ask them survey questions. So there's poll questions. There's all kinds of different things. There is a wait list, so you can actually go on there and sign up for the wait list, and they'll send you information. There's a great video on there. And then you'll also be able to, I think you can also record your lessons so that you can share those out as well.
Yeah, that's in this section right here. See? Instant replay. Repetition is the mother of all learning. We wanted to make the learning experience as valuable outside the classroom as inside. Live slide gives students the tools they need to review and retain after they leave for the day. Students can replay everything that happened in class, even if they were absent. So everything that you're presenting, you can record out, and they can rewatch it. And then you
share it out there, mm-hmm. right.
It has the presence detection, so you can tell when a student has disconnected from your lesson. Student notes, they can pull up notes and take notes on the slides that are right. there.
And it works with your, like if you have Active Directory, it actually works with your student management systems, I think, to pull in your student names. So,
I didn't know that.
And they're going to have different levels. So there's going to be a free account plus a plus account. And if you sign up the wait list before August the 1st, you can get their free, get Live Slide Plus free for 3 months.
So be sure to check it out. So I wonder if August 1st is going to be their launch date.
Maybe.
So we're just staring at it going, okay, someday.
We can't wait to play with it.
Multi-platform, release the shackles of hardware.
Yes.
I would like to do that.
Which is really cool, especially so many districts are doing BYOD. This will be a great solution for them. And of course, you know, like any vendor kind of thing, they'll work with you on pricing and licensing for how many seats you have and everything.
Yeah, their pricing is actually online right now. I didn't realize that. So Live Slide Plus will be $2 to $4 a person per year, depending on the volume. And then, that's right, the number of decks. They did show this slide. Right. Number of decks, you can have 10 to 25. You're going to get more if you have referrals. But those are active there, so I imagine you can, like,
delete
things and everything. So it looks very promising. And I think the two of the guys that were developing are like 12. So no offense to you. I don't mean that offensive at all, but they looked very young and I'm very impressed.
And I think on the plus side though, is that they were
recent college graduates.
And so they are awesome fresh about the whole what it's like to be a student in the classroom and to really make that experience something that is enjoyable for the teacher and the student. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they definitely have that to bring to the table.
We're excited to give that a try.
It was the kiddie table, but they brought it to the table. Sorry. They were young. Okay.
All right. So a couple other things that we wanted to mention. Connected Educator Month is in October. So we have the link in our show notes. But this is a great way for you to get on board with some – if you haven't ventured out into that social media place yet, you know, where it's like, okay, there was this amazing networking opportunity in ISTE. How do I kind of continue that learning? Connected Educator Month might be a place that you want to go on and join up. There's going to be all kinds of sort of unconference-y presentations, you know, with people hosting discussions and sharing what they know and everything else. And so we have the link for that, and we think it would be a great opportunity. Once you sign up, they'll actually send you everything, and you can get to the archives, their starter kits. There's a lot of stuff that are on there. So check it out.
All right. And then that leads us to Project 24, Digital Planning for Schools.
Yeah, this is another one that was mentioned right before the closing keynote, and so this is great. It's by the Alliance for Excellent Education, and basically it's state and district-level planning for progress. And so, you know, we've always been we've championed the use of innovative devices in the classroom, mm-hmm. but with the thought behind it, you're planning. You don't just buy devices to have it. And that's the quickest way for things to fail. You know, if you get things and you didn't have something in place that's going to support teachers, what are your expectations? What are your goals? And how mm-hmm. are you going to get there? And this is just a great little site. They have a Project 24 framework that's on there, thinking about your vision, your plan, how you're going to implement and how you're going to assess. Great tools that are on there. And again, a free sign up that you can go on there and take a look at.
All right. And then
another freebie site.
There's a lot of free sites.
So this is the Free Learning Registry. It's free.ed.gov. This was really cool. So it doesn't look jazzy.
No,
it's not something that's going to like catch your eye automatically. However, it's in beta right now, and what the federal registry tries to do is that they have tried to pull resources into one place so that teachers can go online and look for digital resources and, you know, have one place to go to instead of all of these different sites. And so we've seen some great sites on there that are sponsored, that you'll find in Thinkfinity and other places. They're all here. There is also a Twitter feed, so if you want to follow their Twitter feed, it's Federal Ed Resources.
It's at Free Resources.
And basically, they tweet out sort of like on different days, like what event that happened in history and a resource that goes with it, so it's really cool.
All right, and like I said, it's not, I think, well, it is in beta, so hopefully they'll be getting more and more to do that. All right, and then EduClipper. So the closing keynote, Adam Bellows.
Who was awesome.
He was, and we'll talk more about the fact that we weren't at his keynote later, but we did witness keynote because you can see it on the ISTE.
Right, we talked about the YouTube link earlier, and so if you
can see the keynote.
Did not get to see Adam Bellow, please go on there and check it out. Definitely worth listening to.
So he created EduTecher,
right,
which is a website and an app to find
great educational technology resources,
to use in the classroom. And he also created EduClipper, which is kind of like an educational Pinterest.
Yes.
So
it's a great way to describe that.
I mean, it looks very Pinteresty.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
So you can create boards, and basically on your boards, then you clip things to put onto your boards.
Yeah, and you have a little quick board, so you can kind of drag things to you that you want to put on your board, and then you arrange them around, and
you can share them out.
Share them out. So it's very visual.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it looks a lot like Pinterest, the way things are categorized and everything. But it's all education related.
Yes.
So you don't have to go through the rest of the fodder of Pinterest.
Unless you like the fodder of
Pinterest.
Well, you might. Right.
I do.
Right. And so, you know, here's my 2 cents worth on that. I think it's really cool, and I think I'm going to find some great resources on there. But there's so many educational boards on Pinterest right now, and I
don't think I'm going to leave Pinterest for this.
Yeah. But you know what this might be great for is there are districts that block Pinterest because of the social media aspect of it. Mm-hmm. This might be a great alternative to that, and maybe even a place where you can clip things and provide them to your students.
Well, and I think that's part of it, too. I think you part of it is to be able to clip out to students and share those out. So it's pretty cool.
It is very cool. So that's educlipper.net. And then, so I think we should preface this one just a little bit.
Yes.
Okay, so if you were a conference attendee, Microsoft Education is doing a big project where they gave attendees a free Microsoft RT Surface.
Surface RT.
And they're really trying to gauge how educators will use these devices for whatever.
They're really trying to get into the market of education. And they also dropped the price of their RTs and their pro packages in half. So for educational purposes. So which is a very, you know, nice price point.
Yes.
If that's all you're looking at.
Right. And so we should say, I mean, if you've listened to us for any amount of time, you know that we're Apple fangirls, that we have all of the devices. We live and die by our iOS devices.
But we were open-minded, and we accepted our gift of a Surface.
Right. And we wanted to kind of have a chance to play with it to see what are the options for it. Because in a world that, you know, you differentiate in anyways, there might be an option for this type device. Okay, we didn't like
it. Still not our favorite.
We tried really hard,
though. We tried to keep a very open mind.
Right.
We did keep an open mind, but it was very frustrating for, you know, to have to restart it over and over again, to have the battery die as quick as it did, to have, you know,
the keyboard would stop working.
So, you know, unplug it and plug it back in. You know, just a lot of little things, just, it didn't just work.
Right.
Some of the things weren't very intuitive to me to figure out. I asked a question of one of our tech guys in the district, and he's like, you know, just start typing from any screen. And I was like, what? And so, because I needed to go to, command prompt. And I was like, how do I get there? And he's just start typing the word command. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, so there were some, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that intuitive. You know, so I don't know. It's not my favorite. I'm still going to try it out and mess with it. I think it's great for if that's your thing. But we do have a link for 23.
Yes. So we have 23 free Microsoft teaching tools for educators. And, you know, if your district has gone with this platform or this is the platform that you love, wanted to share it. And even if it's not the platform, we're a dual platform district. You know, all of our teachers have MacBook Pros that have both Windows and Mac operating systems on there. So there's some great tools that are on here that you might be able to use in your classroom. Kodu, if you teach programming or problem solving, there's a digital storytelling teaching guide, a math worksheet generator, which, you know, we feel about worksheets. There is a Microsoft Education 365, I think, that you can sign up for, and you can even store things on their SkyDrive. So there's some different things that you might want to check out. And if this is the platform that your district is definitely vested in, I think you'll find some great things that you'll be able to use. And if it's not, then there might be some things that you would want to check out. Anyways, Photosynth is linked on there, and I love Photosynth. So
well, and the version of the tablet we got, Nathan calls it a tab top, because you tap on the screen, but it's not a laptop, so it's a tap top. Anyway, you can't install just whatever application you want. I think that you can with the pro version, but you can't with the RT version. So you have kind of like an app store, you know, that.
Right, that you can download apps from.
Right, and you're bound to whatever you can get from there.
Yes.
That's, I don't know, it wasn't as clear how to search it, but that's okay. Anyway, there's not near the number of apps or abilities that you could on an iOS device, but I'm not comparing them. I'm just saying that there aren't that many, which sounds like a comparison, because it is. But anyway, it is limited in the kinds of things that you can install. It is not a laptop, really.
Right. And then finally, our last link is just sort of, I guess, is it a plus one or a like for the concept behind digital tattoos?
Yes. So actually, this is a reflection of somebody else on ISTE of a session she went to. So I'm stealing somebody else's reflection for a session that she went to.
You're appreciating her reflection.
I'm appreciating her reflection. So let's see who this is. So her Twitter is DJAINSLIE. I was looking for her real name on here. I don't see
it. And she's
it.
The communications chair for SIG Admin.
Yes. And so she has a blog, Technology Chatter. And she went to a session called Design Your Digital Tattoo, Helping Students Build Their Digital Image. And points out, this was, Adina Sullivan was the presenter. And she, the blog author, points out the same thing. You know, we're used to hearing digital footprint.
Right.
But this presenter compared it more to a tattoo because footprints can be wiped away or wiped out. Tattoos are
much
more permanent.
Yes.
And so I do think that's actually probably a better
sort of analogy or visual or metaphor.
I could see where it'd be taboo for some people
to
be calling it a tattoo. But so her takeaways from the workshop were historical view of tattoos and tattoos throughout history. The issue with our digital tattoo is that I don't believe students see them as a permanent, and they certainly don't see the purpose of having a positive digital tattoo. So this was her takeaway from there, and I see that as well. You know, kids don't really grasp the permanency of what they're doing online. And then so she has some ideas and things that are takeaways that she got from the session, which are really good. And then at the bottom is a link to the YouTube channel for that session. So you can actually virtually attend that session and,
oh, I love
and
that.
See what your takeaways are.
Yeah. So, and I guess just to kind of talk about takeaways from the conference, if you were not able to go, or even if you were able to go, I have found so many things after the fact.
Yeah.
If you just go to Twitter and search for #ISTE13, you'll see what everybody tweeted about. There were so many tweets that came out of that conference. And
like, we were at the same keynote and reading other perspectives that were like, oh, that's a good point.
You know, and people were linking to the images and to the links.
Content of that we're mentioning.
Exactly. And other articles that supported it. I mean, there's just so much. And then people, as they went to sessions, would tweet out the resources for the sessions. So that's another way. We mentioned the YouTube channel for ISTE earlier, so you can go on there and actually take a look. And then just, you know, reading people's blogs and reflections has been amazing. I thank you to everybody who's out there sharing. I've, like, started following new people based on what they've shared out from the conference. So really appreciate adding to my PLN.
Exactly.
All right. So we're not going to end this one with apps because this was more of our ISTE reflection piece.
Well, and we kind of did because we said KidPix3D and that's an app and Comic Life 3.
I was hoping you didn't notice that I was sneaking those in.
Whatever.
So, okay, maybe we snuck some apps in.
We snuck some apps in.
But, you know, this is more of our reflection piece, and we'll go back to our regularly scheduled or not-so-scheduled programming in our next episode where we have, like, a plethora.
Lots
and lots and lots of things to share with you. So, thanks for joining us, and until next time, I'm Helen.
I'm Anna.
And we're the Tech Chicks.